good morning. I hope you're nice and warm and toasty this morning. Maybe you got a big cup of coffee or some hot cocoa. I'm Anna Marie, and not everybody in our community can keep warm in the extreme cold weather like we've had this past week. So this morning, we're going to talk with several different people who can tell us how to lower our energy bills, who can tell us about the emergency assistance that's available to keep the electricity on if we need it, and how to keep our cars running in this cold weather as well. So we'll have Glenn Cranfield, the president and CEO of Nashville Rescue Mission. We've got Lori Parker from the Nashville Electric Service to join us, Lisa McCready from Metropolitan Action Commission, and Avery Smith from Little Brothers Shell in Brentwood, all who will be talking with us this morning. It's a special cold weather edition of Focus, and here we go. And now we have Glenn Cranfield. He's the president and CEO of the Nashville Rescue Mission. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Now, we've got all this extreme cold weather. What is your mission? What are you guys trying to do?
Well, during the extreme cold winter, and you're right, it is really, really going to get cold in the next couple of days. And we're in emergency mode, really. And we have Cold Patrol, which goes out into the community and finds those that are still outside and encourages and brings them into the mission. And then we have other emergency measures that are in place, where we don't turn anyone away for any reason. So there are cots on the floor. We open our chapel up, put beds down, mattresses down, because it's very critical that they come in out of the cold weather, because it's extremely dangerous.
Now, how many people can you find a warm spot for at the Nashville Rescue Mission?
You know, we've never reached the place where we've had to turn anybody away. So right now, last night we had 821 men, women, and children at the mission. And so we know that we can put cots down and mattresses down for up to 1,000 or more. And so it's just very, very important that when you see someone and they say there's no room in the inn or there's no room at the mission, there is room. And we turn no one away because it is just critically important that they get out of the weather.
What about, are there time limits? Do they have to be in by a certain time? Or if we're driving around and we see someone, could we call you no matter what time it is? Or is there certain hours?
There's no restriction on that at all. When in the emergency, in the cold weather, the police bring people in throughout the night. People bring people in throughout the night. Our patrol is out throughout the night. So we're bringing people in at all hours of the night. It's just very important that they get out of that situation.
I think a lot of us are surprised when we see how many people are experiencing homelessness when we have cold nights like we're about to be experiencing. I think when we see close to 1,000 people just at Nashville Rescue Mission,
right. That's
shocking to us.
It is shocking. And, you know, as Nashville grows, we think about the Nashville growing, the business community growing and all of that. But also, sadly, so does the poor population and the homeless population. People come to Nashville. It is a magnet. They come to Nashville for an opportunity. They didn't make it somewhere else, so they're thinking, maybe I can make it there. And so they come to Nashville, and they find themselves, many of them, in a situation when they're in need, and they don't have any resources left. And so they find themselves at a place like Nashville Rescue Mission, a room in the inn, or the Oasis, a place where they need help. And we're just really grateful that the Middle Tennessee comes together to provide meaningful, secure, and safe places for them to stay.
Do you find that there are a lot of military members coming back and finding themselves in bad situations and needing a place to stay?
There are a lot of veterans, and there are, it's, the number continues to decrease a little bit over the time and over the years, but there are a lot of veterans that need the help that places like Nashville Rescue Mission provides. And sadly, they're the ones that are most oftentimes, because they're so independent, they're oftentimes the ones that are the last to come into the shelter out of the cold. And so it's the veterans, really, that we really want to get in out of the cold.
You mentioned people being very independent. Is that one of the reasons why I would think if I were out there in the cold and I knew it was going to get down to 4 degrees, I'd be trying to head in, but some people really do resist coming in. Why is that?
Well, there are multiple reasons. One of the hard reasons, the most difficult reasons for us to deal with, is the mental health and mental illness, because there's paranoia and schizophrenia and big crowds and close quarters really bother them, which we totally understand and we totally get that. But in those situations, so they find find themselves needing that space and they find themselves out. But during the cold weather, it's just critically important that they come in, even if it's just during the season of the cold, mm-hmm. but come in out of that for their own safety and health.
I know we've already had a couple of people freezing to death just in this year so far. It seems like one was on church steps as somebody was taking blankets to deliver to the church. He discovered someone. And so what do you think when you hear about things like that?
It really breaks my heart because we've had, you're exactly right, we've had two deaths this winter season already, and it just doesn't need to happen. And it makes me get a little bit emotional because it doesn't need to happen. There are safe places for them. There are warm food, there's coffee, there's cocoa, there's blankets and everything that they need inside to get out of the situation. And I'll tell you, the thing that concerns me the most is that that man died wrapped in a blanket. And the blanket is a false sense of security when it's 5 degrees. A blanket is a false sense of security when it's 20 degrees because they get numb to that and then they fall asleep. Then they pass away. There is no blanket, no sleeping bag, nothing that's going to protect them when it's 5 degrees or lower. And so it is critically important that they come in out of the weather.
I'm glad to hear you get a little emotional because I do too.
Yeah.
Because that is horrible, and it's just, it hurts my heart when we hear about somebody who was out there
right.
trying to keep warm, and we couldn't save them.
There are resources available for them, and that's the part that just hurts me the most, is that it doesn't need to happen. It's needless.
Yeah.
Their life is so important. It's just as important as anyone else's. They're a face. They're a name. They're somebody's mother, somebody's father, a brother, a son, a daughter. They're very important, and so their life is extremely important. We know them by name, and we don't want them to die in the cold weather. It's a horrible thing, and so we want them to come in.
So how can we help?
If you see someone, encourage them to come in. Call the police, call us, call a room in the inn, make a phone call and say, we saw somebody. We'll have somebody out there right away. If it's not our cold patrol, it'll be the Metro Police. But that's one way that you can help them in. And then when you see someone on the street corner and they're doing all kinds of things to encourage them, I mean, even if it's just roll down the window, please. Get in out of the cold. This is dangerous. You won't be able to make it through the night. I mean, just the words like that. And then certainly supporting the nonprofits that take care of them with blankets and coats and sheets and scarves and gloves and things like that. And then also monetary donations help those organizations too. We exist totally because of the compassion of Mental Tennessee.
And because it's a nonprofit.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. We receive no government funding. So it really is Middle Tennessee people taking care of Middle Tennessee people.
Anything else that I've neglected to ask that you think is important to add?
One thing that I would just like to say along the lines of just kind of concluding here is just my gratefulness to Middle Tennessee, my gratefulness to Nashville coming together, and gratefulness to you for helping us get this message out, because it is a critically important message. It's not an advertisement. This is a critically important message to folks to help us get the people in and out of the cold, because it is really life-threatening.
So thank you to Glenn Cranfield with the Nashville Rescue Mission. Now, let's look at people who have homes but who need some help keeping that home warm. We've got Lisa McCready with the Metro Action Commission. Hi, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is kind of our emergency cold show.
Absolutely.
So what do people need to know about what is available as far as help from the Metropolitan Action Commission?
Sure. I wanted to start by saying, you know, just a really big thank you to the city of Nashville. Some of the customers that we have, they receive the information just from other residents throughout the city. They've heard about the Metropolitan Action Commission, and they know of a neighbor or someone that's elderly that may benefit from our assistance. Mm-hmm. One of the programs that's most widely used here in Nashville is the Energy Assistance Program, and it's a federal program that we receive federal funds from, and it's the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. And so that offers support for energy services in someone's home, such as electricity, natural gas, mm-hmm. propane, and even coal. We have some people who live in Joelton or the extreme parts of Davidson County that actually still use coal mm-hmm. As an energy source. And so we provide assistance with that. Many times the funds that we have, it will cover the entire bill. Sometimes it covers more than the bill, and so they'll have a credit left over. But sometimes it only helps with just a little part of the bill. And so our program is really helpful to families who need our help. help. These many times these are families who are working every day and just they have a lot of responsibilities where they're not able to handle all of their even basic needs. And so we collaborate not only with our funder, but with other programs throughout the city. So when you come into our agency, you'll have some other resources. You'll walk away with some other resources if that is beneficial to your family. We know that there are other support services that some of our families would need. And so our agency has partnered with other programs throughout the city, and some of them are national programs where they would be of other assistance to the families that we support.
So if you have somebody coming in and they need help, financial assistance to pay the bills or to keep their homes heated in extreme situations like this, if the Metropolitan Action Commission can't help, you could help hook them up with who can.
Absolutely.
Is that basically it?
Because our program is income eligible. You have to have a certain income level.
Yeah.
Sometimes our families are just above the monthly income limit.
Yeah.
And so there are some families that we cannot help because they are beyond the income level.
But they still need help.
But they still need help. They could be over by $10, $5, or whatever the case may be. They could have had some major health issues to where they couldn't work for a certain period of time, but their monthly salary is or wages are at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
They still need help, but we just can't help them. And so we reach out to companies or organizations such as Big Brothers or NeedLink or Catholic Charities or Ladies of Charities, where they have a little bit more flexibility as far as helping families who are just trying to make it.
Oh, so if somebody is facing an emergency or, you know, possibly an elderly person or someone who's just really struggling, then if I contact the Metropolitan Action Commission, I could just at least get pointed in the right direction.
Absolutely. Our goal is to be a resource. And so if we can't provide that service, we know who's in the community who can help us with those services.
Who can take action.
Who can take action.
All right. Okay, so do you have heaters?
We do not have heaters. You know, that's a pretty common question that we get. We do not provide any space heaters. And it's basically because of that's not how we're funded. Our funder has decided that we would go strictly towards the energy source of a home,
yeah,
or an apartment or whatever the case
may
be.
To help them pay for electricity.
To help them pay for electricity.
Propane.
Absolutely.
Or something like that for them.
Absolutely.
Home.
Some homes are heated by kerosene. Now, we do provide the kerosene vouchers for those who need that. And as I said earlier, coal is some people's energy source. But for the most part in Davidson County, because we're largely urban, we have a lot of energy suppliers here that provide that service to homes and apartments and other places of residence. And so that's primarily the energy suppliers that we work with. Once we determine how much you're eligible for, we send that directly to your energy supplier. So say, for instance, it's NES. We'll go ahead and send that payment to NES electronically. And really, when you receive your acceptance letter or award letter is what we call it, that money has already been applied to your account. And so it goes directly to them. Depending upon how much you owe, say, for instance, you qualify for $300 and your bill is only $150, you still get that $300.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. And so it could go to help whatever your next month's, you know, energy usage would be.
Can we go online and get the information, find out what we need?
Absolutely. Our applications are online and all you have to do is print it off. And it has all of the documents that we need to go along with your application.
Perfect.
The applications are also available at NES and they're also available at all Nashville public libraries.
Good to know.
Absolutely.
So look for Metropolitan
Action Commission Energy Assistance Application.
Okay. There's a process time.
It is.
That it takes. So you can't just go, hey, I need help paying my bill this month immediately. How long is that process time?
Yeah, the process time could be anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks. It depends on when our peak times are also. And so when it's extremely cold or extremely warm, like now, those are our peak times. If you're having difficulties with paying your bill, first you need to reach out to your energy supplier. So it could be NES or Piedmont Gas. Let them know that you're having difficulties immediately. After that, they'll decide if they're able to work out any type of payment arrangements with you. What makes it really difficult for them is if you've had payment arrangements in the past and you've not followed through on those commitments. And so that's why I'm saying now, just go ahead and reach out to them and whatever you commit to doing, go ahead and try to follow through. You also need to reach out to us as quickly as you can. If you're having difficulties now, yes, it's going to be challenging for us to help you now, but at least you've reached out and you've made the first step. What I would suggest is, even if you've paid your bill and you know you're eligible, go ahead and send your application in now if you're eligible, especially if you know down the line that you're going to have some issues. That gives us enough time to get your application processed. You're not under any duress or anything. You're not in jeopardy of having your energy disconnected or anything, and that your family can remain warm during these very cold months. The energy suppliers will do all that they can, but they do have some limitations as well. And so I think being proactive on the front end is the key.
Keep on top of it. Get in contact with them. Absolutely. Don't just disappear and not pay the bill. Contact them
immediately.
Talk it out. Mm-hmm. Figure something out.
Absolutely.
Anything else that I've neglected to ask that you think is important that we add?
With the application, it's very important that everything that we've asked for, that you supply that along with the application. What it tends to be the most challenging is making sure you have all of your proof of payment information. And so if your proof of income information, meaning that if you work a job, if you're paid biweekly, we need 4 paycheck stubs. If you're working weekly, we need 8 paycheck stubs. And they have to be in order. You can't miss out. You can't, pick and choose which one you want.
Here's 8 from
they
all last year.
They have to be, in order for the most recent. The other thing is that everyone in the home, we must have a copy of their Social Security cards. And so if you do not have a copy of the Social Security cards, go ahead and get in touch with the Social Security office so that you can get the printout that they provide for you. Those are things that are commonly missing from the applications that we need to make sure that each family has with their application, along with their most recent energy bill.
That wouldn't be bad to have, just to make sure, because I don't have my Social Security card.
Absolutely.
I lost it years ago, mm-hmm. and I didn't get another one. But in case of an emergency,
You really need to go ahead and do it, because there's
a
processing
spot.
Time for that as well.
Yeah.
And so, we just need to make sure that we always have those documents readily available.
And if somebody's not sure, can they call? Can they talk to somebody?
They absolutely
and kind of
can call us.
Walk through it a little
yes.
bit?
We have a phone line. We have kind of a call center, and we have someone answering our phones. And if there's a message left, we are able to contact you back. But many times when you call into us, you will get a live person, or you'll get a recorded information line where you can hear the answers to probably the most commonly asked questions.
Good.
And so we try to be as proactive as we can. There's also information on our webpage that walks you through these are the type of documents that you need. And then if you still have more questions, their email addresses, mine is listed there. And so we get back to customers fairly quickly, probably within a day or less.
Good. Do you have a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page.
And what
so
is it?
Information, it's just Metropolitan Action Commission. So if you just type that in, you'll get us, mm-hmm. and it'll go right through to our page.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Next, Avery Smith from Little Brothers Shell in Brentwood, ASE certified mechanic, to give us some tips for our cars during the cold weather. Thank you for joining us, Avery. Cold weather is hard on cars, so what things should we definitely be doing for our vehicles in winter?
One of the biggest things, having your cooling system and heater system ready for winter. You have antifreeze in the engine that controls the temperature of your engine and how well you get heat, or how much heat that you get in the wintertime. Antifreeze is designed to be changed every 2 years or 24,000 miles, whichever comes first. So that needs to be done leading in the winter. And you need to keep up with that tight maintenance. Get it done every other year. And it's real important that it does get changed, because antifreeze has a chemical in it that stops the engine and radiator from rusting. So it has a rust protection level that it needs to maintain. It has a freezing point that it needs to maintain. It has a boiling point that it needs to maintain. So they've got one liquid that prevents rust, prevents boiling, prevents freezing, and it loses its properties about every 2 years. It needs to be changed. And also, if you keep that liquid changed, it makes other major expensive parts last longer, like water pumps. A water pump will last longer if the antifreeze is fresh.
I bet there are people listening who have never, ever, ever had their antifreeze changed.
Probably. And see, antifreeze is in a closed system. If it's not leaking, you never have to add to it. It could go on 4, 5, or 6 years and never have to do anything to it, but it should be changed every 2 years.
But then our water pump goes out and we don't know why.
That's right. Your water pump goes out and you don't know why. And it's because the antifreeze hadn't been changed.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
If I had a final thought, I would say maintenance is the key to keeping a vehicle running. Preventative, tight maintenance. Start with an oil change. Regular.
Thank you, Avery. That was Avery Smith, ASC certified mechanic from Little Brothers Shell in Brentwood. Our final guest this morning is from Nashville Electric Service, Lori Parker, and she's got some vital information. Thank you for joining us, Lori. What will you be able to help us with today?
Well, I can definitely share some helpful tips on how to lower your energy bill or at least try to keep costs in check during these very cold temperatures that we're having right now.
Okay, so first, can you just tell us what do we do wrong that makes us go, oh my gosh, the bill is $4,000 or whatever?
Well, most people set their thermostat a little higher than they think they need to. Mm-hmm. Usually if you bump it down a couple of degrees, you're not going to notice the change that much. Throw on an extra layer, some warm, comfy socks. That'll make a huge difference with how you feel in your home.
So socks. Keep your hands and feet warm.
Keep your hands and feet warm. Use an extra blanket when you go to bed and turn the thermostat down a couple of degrees. That's going to help because when it gets this cold outside, your heating system is working overtime.
Right.
And it's really not shutting off at all. So...
Right.
You know, anything that you can try to do to help with your heating costs is going to be the biggest bang for your buck because heating accounts for about 50% of your total bill.
If somebody has a choice and they can choose from their central heat or space heaters or the electric heaters that are even kind of the little fake fireplace electric heaters, I have some of those. Which is more cost effective? Which is more efficient?
Well, a space heater is great for supplemental heat, but it's not going to be your best or most efficient way to heat your home if you're using that as your primary source.
Are they more expensive?
If you're trying to use multiple space heaters to heat multiple rooms in your home and they're having to run a lot, it's not going to be more efficient. But if you're, you know, let's say you're only in your living room for several hours out of the day and you want to turn your thermostat down, you can use that space heater as sort of supplemental heat to make you feel warmer and keep your central heat from running as much.
Oh, I see. Use them in combination and use them wisely.
Exactly.
Okay. How can we know? Are there specific places that we lose a lot of heat that we might be able to do something about? I hear people talking about and posting online, you can weatherproof your windows by putting bubble wrap on your windows. Have you seen that one?
I'm not sure if bubble wrap works, but one of the best ways that you can prevent from air leaks and heat loss is weather stripping around your door. If you feel cold air coming through your exterior doors, weather stripping is great. It's really cheap. It's easy to do. Anyone can do it themselves. And then caulking around your windows, it takes a little bit more skill. But if you have a handyman or if you kind of have done that thing before, it can help prevent heat loss out of your windows. Now, if you don't want to do the caulking around your windows, be sure to keep your drapes and your blinds closed when it's cloudy outside or when it's at night because that can help prevent heat loss out of your windows.
Oh.
When it's sunny, open those blinds and let the sun's natural warmth come in and heat your home. You'd be surprised how much the sun can heat up a room in the winter.
Can I tell you a poor person's hack that I discovered for the windows? Is painter's tape because I have an old house and there's like drafts coming in from I can't even tell where exactly, and so I put painter's tape in all the cracks around my little windows and then it peels off and it didn't, you know, mess up anything, but it helped a lot. It wasn't very beautiful, but like you said, I kept the curtains closed and so I didn't have to look at it.
Yeah, it's amazing how much air can come in through old windows. And that, you know, the heated air that you're paying for is going literally right out the window.
Oh. Oh, that's, and that phrase works there too, doesn't it? Okay, what else are we possibly overlooking when we're talking about trying to save money and trying to keep, basically just keep the house nice and warm where it's comfortable? But how can we make sure that we're not missing something? And just like you say, putting the air right out the window.
Well, if you have a garage, a lot of times people will keep their garage door open. You know, keep it shut as much as possible because that cold air is just infiltrating your home through the garage.
Yeah.
So that's another tip we have for people if you have a garage.
That seems like a big duh, but we don't think of it.
Yeah.
Good one. Okay. What else?
I mean, there's little things that you can do year round, you know, making sure you turn off the light when you leave the room. Electronics use a lot of energy now that people have multiple TVs and DVRs and all kinds of things that are running. pretty continuously. Mm-hmm. Even when they're plugged in and turned off, a lot of those electronics are pulling energy. So we always recommend, you know, either unplugging any electronic that you're not using or plug it into a power strip and then turn the power strip off when it's not in use. That's a small amount of energy, but it's still an amount of energy that's going to show up on your bill.
Well, plus with as many devices as people have now, so many things that have chargers, seems like I read somewhere anything that gets hot, anything that gets warm while it's plugged in, even if you're not charging your tablet, for example, you've got the charger plugged in and you feel it and it's warm. So that means it's still pulling energy somehow.
It's still pulling energy. If it's got a battery pack or if it's got like a light that stays on continuously,
right,
it is using energy.
Okay. So try and put those on a power strip or something and turn those off.
Exactly.
What if people have issues with paying their bills? What kind of help can they get? What do they do first thing?
Well, we recommend that if you get a bill that you're not expecting to be as high as it is, to call us immediately if you think you're going to have trouble paying that bill, because we can work with customers to set up a payment arrangement with them to try to make it easier to spread those payments out. Another program that's great for customers is our balanced billing program. It's a rolling average of your annual usage, so you don't see those huge spikes and valleys, you know, depending on what the weather is doing outside. So that's a great program for customers who are on a tight budget.
Mm-hmm. So you can actually budget for it and it's not going to take out the grocery bill in the wintertime.
It just helps, you know, you won't see those big spikes in the summer and the winter when the weather is having such a huge impact on your bill.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a pretty good idea of what your bill is going to be every month. We have an online do-it-yourself energy audit that customers can fill out. It takes a couple of minutes, answer a couple of key questions about your home and your energy usage, and you receive a free conservation kit in the mail along with recommendations on what you can do to try to make your home more energy efficient. Then if customers want to take that a step further, there's a new program that TVA is offering called eScore, and basically customers get incentives and rebates for making home improvements, energy-saving home improvements at their home to try to make it more energy efficient. So that's a way that customers are rewarded for trying to make their home more efficient.
Incentives and rebates, I like that sound.
Exactly. Money back in your pocket.
So what would that mean? What would we have to do for something like that?
Well, we have all of the information about eScore on our website at nespower.com. There's a 1-800 number that customers can call to set up an evaluation on their home, and they can receive recommendations on what type of work needs to be done. Then they'll go through the process of getting an inspection once the work is done, mm-hmm, and then getting the rebates and incentives back.
But I mean, what kind of, give me an example. That was a great description of how the process works. But what kind of thing? Give me just one example, maybe.
Most people need more insulation in their home. So attic insulation is a big way. It's not very expensive, but it can have a huge impact on the efficiency of your home. Another thing that customers don't realize is that they're losing a lot of air out of their air ducts, their duct system. A lot of times there are big gaps or gashes in their duct system, and it's kind of difficult to get to your duct system. It's either in your crawl space or in your attic. So a lot of times customers will leave that up to the professionals to try to seal those air leaks. But that can often have a huge impact on your usage too. You know, your air system can actually be blowing warm air out into your crawl space, and you don't even realize it.
Oh.
So sealing your air ducts is also a big way to save money.
Okay. Is there anything else that people need to know about, especially in severely cold weather like this, that I'm neglecting to ask about? Anything else that you think, man, I wish people knew this?
We have an emergency energy assistance fund called Project Help, and those funds are distributed by NeedLink Nashville, which is formerly Big Brothers of Nashville. Customers can contribute to that fund to help other customers who are struggling to pay their bill. So we always recommend that customers who are struggling, they could see if they qualify with NeedLink. It's for elderly, disabled, and low-income customers who are struggling to pay. And then if customers are interested in contributing, there's a new way that they can contribute or support Project Help, and that's through Kroger's Community Rewards Program. So if they shop at Kroger and they scan their Kroger Plus card, as long as they have their Plus card linked to the charity of Project Help, through NeedLink, Kroger makes a donation to that charity every time they shop there.
That's good to know. And we can get all the information again at the website?
Exactly. We have a section on our website called Energy Assistance, and that's where project help information is located.
Okay. And once again, that website is?
NESpower.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you heard something that you can use or share with somebody else. It could make a big difference for somebody who needs that help this winter. Make sure you join us again next week for Focus. I'm Anna Marie.
You can read more about today's topic on our Focus webpage. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you have an idea for the show, you can always email us at focus@mix929.com. Thanks again for listening today. Make sure you join us again next week for Focus.